Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, my next guest, James Smith, is an author, a fitness guru, a motivator, is one of my favorite people to talk to because he really doesn't sugarcoat anything. And it says here that he wants to use the C word. So, yeah, I'm kind of in the humor for getting cancelled this morning. James, what C word do you want to use? How's it going?
Very well, thank you. The C word is confidence to any
confidence.
Nervous listeners.
Confidence. Okay. Phew. Now, you've been studying confidence for a year. Did you really need to? I mean, you seem like a fairly confident guy whenever I see you in action.
Well, that's what a lot of people kind of said, and I knew they would think that. So it was a very exciting project for me because I'm not actually a very confident person. It just appears that way because of the way I see certain things. And I wanted to share that with people when I wrote the book.
Okay. Why does having confidence matter for everything else in life?
Well, part of me actually likes to, you know, call BS on confidence and say maybe this isn't a thing as much as we make it. I think that a lot of people use the excuse of not being confident as a way of letting themselves off for not doing things.
Right.
So if you shy away from challenges and you shy away from uncomfortable conversations and you shy away from more responsibility at work or talking to that person that you find attractive, rather than facing these uncomfortable situations, it's easier to label yourself as something. And I think low confidence is what people are labeling themselves.
Okay. I mean, we can't all smash it 24 hours a day. That's exhausting. But what parts of life really require confidence?
Well, if you look at relationships, professional life and ambitions, I would say your three main places, which are actually very commonly shared. And I mean, it doesn't mean that you want to be an author or someone big on social media. Your ambition might be starting a dog walking business for all I care, but you're going to need some form of confidence to do that. And one of the main lessons I teach people in the book is about being comfortable with failure, because confidence isn't your relationship to being successful. Mm-hmm. It's your relationship to failing at things. And if people can get better at failing, they can get better at accomplishing and doing the work necessary to accomplish things. And in a few years' time, they'll be told by their friends they're more confident when really they're better at failing.
Absolutely. I learned that in sales years ago. I used to work in sales in Bristol years ago, and it was all about being able to accept the no's, because you'll get more no's than yeses. And in the entertainment world as well. Now, you're a good man to call out nonsense being sold to people, speaking of which. What would you advise listeners to ignore when trying to find their own confidence?
So there's a lot of things online from, counting down from five, like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Like, I've tried that and I was still nervous as hell. There are things like postures, where apparently you're supposed to go into a toilet cubicle and raise your arms in the air. There's faking a smile. There's an alter ego. I found so many things that I would advise heavily against when it comes to, you know, trying to become more confident. And if people stay away from those nonsense ideas, they'll have an easier time.
What's the difference, though, between self-confidence and arrogance?
Yeah, arrogance is probably the manifestation of too much confidence. But I mean, it's probably one of those traits that I don't think anyone's going to wander into that kind of deep water by accident. Let's say we get you, because it's funny you say about the sales background. That's the same as me. I worked in door-to-door sales in Gloucester, so I was only one county across. And that's where I became very confident with failing. But if I was to become a very good door-to-door salesman, it's very difficult for you to then wander into the territory of, you know, arrogance. Someone's not going to think badly of you because you're taking failure like water off a duck's back. So I don't think that people need to worry about that. It's like people that are trying to lose weight worrying about excess skin. I'm like, whoa, let's do the work first. Let's not worry about problems that haven't even come up yet.
Sure. Now, you mentioned it there earlier on, dating, confidence in the dating world. What would you advise young listeners about being confident in the dating world?
Not to rely on alcohol so much.
Don't say that, James.
This is something where I've had a trial by fire. I've spent a decade researching that before the book, I can tell you that. People rely on confidence through the bottle. And I mean,
sure.
I drink. I'm not one of these people that sits here going, alcohol is terrible. But our judgments on people and compatibility are usually impaired after the second drink. So one thing that worked for me was taking alcohol out of the situation when it comes to first dates or even second dates. And then not only do you have to be more confident. You have to take that responsibility on and those awkward conversations head on. You can't rely on a drink. But then also you manage to be, you know, someone who makes better decisions on those dates, and you can riddle between who's right and who isn't. If you get smashed on your first 3-4 dates, it doesn't matter who you went on a date with, you'd probably find them pretty entertaining. Sure. And you're just wasting time, which is something that not many of us have.
It's so simple, but when you say it, it makes complete sense. Now look, you're coming to Dublin soon, but we can actually claim you as our own now because you're actually Irish. Is that right?
My bloodline comes from Ireland. From in 1989, it was a tough place to have a child out of wedlock. So I came over to the UK to be born. So yeah, I'm 100% Irish.
Good on you. And you're on tour. You're going to be in the Helix. What can people expect from a James Smith live show?
Probably the mixture of a TED Talk and a stand-up comedian.
Cool.
So, to be honest, If there's really informative, educative videos, they can get a bit boring. But then sometimes you don't feel very productive just watching someone be funny. So hopefully I can find a fine balance between the two and give people an entertaining evening where they learn a lot.
You're doing a show in the Sydney Opera House where you once tried to get a job as a barman. What has that booking done for your confidence?
Yeah, it's incredible. I remember, but in Australia, you have to have a qualification to serve people alcohol in case you know they're drunk. And I thought, you don't need that. You can tell they're far removed from the Irish and the British if you need something like that.
Totally.
But yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity and I'm just thrilled to be able to do it.
Amazing. Well, listen, if people can't make the show or if it's sold out or whatever, where can people find the book?
I'll probably have a few copies on me in Temple Bar that evening. No, I'm joking. they can get it in all good bookstores, online, Amazon, wherever they want to get it from.
Amazing. James, thanks for coming on the show. Best of luck with the tour. It's always lovely to chat to you and make sure you enjoy yourself while you're here, okay?
Will do. Thank you very much for having me.
There we go. That is James Smith, always worth listening to and always full of confidence.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.